such a weight because you don't know if you'll do it justice. I'm going to give it a shot. If you could bow your heads and pray. God, I pray that the word that's going to go forth this morning would be anointed. I pray that the words would go into the ears and hearts. And God, I pray that we would take away a challenge from you. I speak your life over this body. I speak your life. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask that the ones that are praying to keep praying. Because that's how it's supposed to be. Worship team, thank you.
It's worthy. It's so worthy.
The thing that God's been speaking to me most about lately are dreams. And how we speak things through faith into existence, and how I've had conversations with people about things God dreams that have been on my heart. And a subject that keeps coming around is addiction. And how small I feel and how humbled in light of the battles that God puts before us. Before I start to speak, I need to be honest with you about something in this. This week, I'm out, and God's always challenging me, go after those things that I tell you to go after. Go after them. And I had a commitment this week. And as I sat before my commitment, a lady came in. It was warm out. She had on a winter coat. Her hair was just a matted mess. She had just used. She stood waiting for her food, trying to put the top on a drink. Now, I'd seen her from a distance, but I didn't put it all together. And I left. And I made my church commitment. God has hammered me about that. See, it's not about this. It was never about this in the sense of what we've made it. Of our gotta-dos. Where her soul hung in that moment, and yet my gotta-dos, my gotta-dos had me looking past the very sheep that God's putting in my path with the things he's challenging my heart about. And I promise you, that will not happen again. And I know that's a weird way to open a sermon. And I hadn't even planned it that way. But as I go into this today, my hope is that you will hear what God's trying to say. My inspiration for this sermon came from an unlikely source. You can throw that first slide up. I don't know if the PowerPoint's good to go. I emailed it, but it was crawling on its way there. As I was driving this week and I was thinking about dreams, and God was putting the subject of dreams in my heart, I heard a song, a familiar song. This is the point where I'm supposed to church it out and tell you it was Gaithers or something. It was Aerosmith. And it was Dream On. And as I listened to this song, Dream On, you can hit that next slide. I was just thinking about the idea of our God dreams and the things that come along and the things that sometimes happen. You know, you go to Disney, and at Disney you hear a dream is a wish your heart makes everywhere. The Everlys sang All I Have to Do is Dream. In Wayne's World, the love song was Dream Weaver. The Monkees were daydream believers. Tom Petty ran down a dream. Hall & Oates, who I missed their concert on the 20th, sang You Make My Dreams Come True. Harriet Tubman once said that every great dream begins with a dreamer. I like to change that up and say every God dream begins with a dreamer. And this morning, my hope is to challenge you, wherever you may be along the path of where God has you. When we think of God dreams in our minds, they're always these grand things. They're typically angels singing when it comes to God dreams, and it looks like this. The slide here, let's see, it's like boom, fireworks. God dreams. You know, sometimes God dreams are like these warm, fuzzy feelings like this. Next one, what do we have here? Like puppies. Like, oh, the God dreams. They're so fresh. Other times, our God dreams are things, you know, like God dreams just feel so good. It's almost like Guido's pizza with no carbs. You never had Guido's pizza. Got to check that out. It's all types of future wonderful in our minds when we start thinking of God dreams. When we begin with our human minds to box in the things that God has, it looks a lot different. In flashes and whispers, God will speak to you. The one who created that heart will begin to speak to that heart, and he'll begin to say things in there. You've been there, and there have been times that God has whispered that to you. In that restaurant, in my rush, in my schedule, I ignored those whispers. Every God dream begins with a believer who truly believes that God's ways are higher than our ways, as it says in Isaiah 55, that his plans are designed not just for our protection, but for us to prosper. When you read Jeremiah 29:11, and you hear how God works, you hear that his plans aren't just to tolerate us, but for us to begin to prosper as we walk in him. And I'm not talking every one of us in a new Mercedes. I'm talking that we walk through this walk in a way that people see that it is different. Are we a people who truly understand sometimes that if this salvation experience, if this God relationship is real, then this life is destined for experiences which will be out of our control? But in the scary best way. When I'm guided by the hand of the Almighty, I hand over my control. That's difficult. No one likes to do that. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph. And this man, Joseph, had some dreams. This is Donny Osmond, not Joseph, but Dawn, that one's for you. You're welcome. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph saw things that other people didn't see. Joseph was a sharer of dreams. He was a favored son, and he was living a life that he probably didn't want to change. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a spot that wasn't perfect, but you just didn't want it to change because it was comfortable? It felt like your favorite pair of jeans in a way. You know, you just put that on, and you're just comfortable. There may be more, but I'm good here. Joseph, he was kind of stuck in that kind of rut. God's plan's a good plan, and we need to trust the process. And I'm going to say right now, the purpose of a God dream, if we have to ask what's the purpose of a God dream, the purpose of a God dream is to reveal his plan or to further his plan. When God whispers to you, it's going to be to show you things that you may not even believe. Or it's going to be to confirm things that are pieces that you've been walking around thinking, how does this fit together? That is how God works. God dreams can make us uneasy, and it truly begins when we stop with the control. The problem is that one of the most unnatural things for us to do is to turn over control to anyone. To anyone. Married couples, single people, employees, employers. It's difficult to give up control. It's difficult to put our heart out there. Sometimes in church, it's even more difficult. When I say the things that I say them not for shock value sometimes. I say them because I am trying to be real. Because I feel one of the things that has held the church back for far too long is this idea of trying to put the facade up. Walking around, bunch of facades bumping into each other. In me, just being me, in Christ, my hope is that you can just be you. The best version of you that he has made you to be. So here's Joe, has his dreams, sits down, probably at dinner table. Hey, guys, listen to this dream. It didn't go over well. Maybe it was a delivery, I don't know. I don't know how, but it didn't go over well. And so my what if question right now for you is, what if we had the courage to speak our God dreams into this place? What if we had the courage to get before one another and speak our God dreams fearlessly? Put things out there that just may seem crazy to half the world and probably most of the church. What if our goal was to see those God dreams come true? To take this word from memorization of a few scriptures to application, to using it to guide every single step, for using it to direct our heart in ways that we don't even see. When we say to look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others, to take those God dreams that are here, that are in you, that are in me, and to say, I remember when you spoke that. What can I do to help you get there? What can I do to help you realize this God dream? God's given you a heart for outreach. Let's make it happen. God's given you a heart for this. Let's talk about it. Once we take it to that spot, crazy things are going to happen. Crazy things are going to happen. When I think of the fact that as a church body, sometimes you hear these buzzwords like offense. How about we shake off chains of offense? How about we shake off the paranoia that exists when we truly get real before one another and we wonder what other people are thinking? When we do share our heart, but then we walk away and we're in the car and we're like, oh no, I wish I could take that back. Our faith exists in those everyday moments, and he's saying, shake it, shake it, shake it. What if we became real in the fact that some of us here are mature Christians and others are struggling along the way, and those that are mature need to come up under those and help them and spend time with them and not just say, I'm praying for you, but to literally do crazy things like set time aside to hang out with them. If it's a family, do we treat it like family or do we treat it like Thanksgiving where we see the weird uncle like once every 3 years? Where are we in that walk? What are we doing with those things? To accomplish great things, a quote says, we must not only act, but we must also dream. We must not only plan, but we must believe. We need to take it from going beyond motions to know the why we do what we do, and then it's going to begin to shake. If you know the why, then the possibilities are limitless. It can become easy to get caught up in sincerely going through the motions. It's not that people are fake, it's just that we find ourselves going through motions and doing things that we think we should do. We rob the sin-cleansing blood of the very power that is in it. I stood in this very spot right here, and I spoke a God dream a couple months ago that I am telling you what. I wrote that thing down, and it was one of those, I wrote it down, and I was like, oh, man. In my office, like I had to walk away from it. Like that thing was red hot. Whew. I wrote it down and I shared it in front of the crowd. We cried. We were like, yes, whoa. I put footwork to that dream. I went, chased that dream down, specifically prayed over it. And you know what? That thing was the most aerodynamic dream that I've ever built with the help of God, but yet it did not fly. I tried. I tried hard. But there was freedom in speaking those things out. There was a ripple effect that not only did the people of God hear those God dreams, but I'm pretty sure the devil heard them too. And I wanted him to. I wanted him to know that the time of being scared is over. The time of being comfortable is over. The time of playing small is over. And the time of going after the things that I just don't want to visit the devil's territory. I want to take it. I want things for God that if this power is truly what we speak of, I want God to show up in the most unlikely places to the most unlikely of people. I want him to put me in places that literally can make my skin crawl, but him show up. Here's a fact. When I dream naturally, as in sleeping in dream, I never dream of my room. I never dream of the walls of my bedroom. I dream crazy things, out there things. Why, when it comes to God dreams, do we limit them within the walls? Why, if we can understand it so much that if we eat a big meal and have a crazy dream before bed, but we can't understand it in the spiritual, when God is wanting us to get it, to get a hold of it, to shake it. The things that God reveals to you are going to be downright scary. But you know what? There's also going to be a hint of confirmation in the things that he says. When God spoke to Moses from that burning bush, that plan that he had for him went far beyond shepherding in Midian. And it was confirmed in Moses' heart in that moment. As scared as he was and as much as he tried to fight it, don't you know that deep in his heart, he's like, I can run to the middle of the desert, and yet your grace finds me. When David heard Goliath standing in that valley and ranting, in that moment when he heard it, when he saw him, he knew it was never about the cheese in that backpack. He knew it. The truth about it is that dreams occur during dark times. Jacob, when he was at Bethel, or Luz, or Luz, tomato, tomato for you, when Jacob was there, think of this, Jacob had just won the best costume party ever prize. He had just dressed up, fooled his dad, took his brother's money. So when? He said, yes, I pulled it off. But at the same time, Jacob had the realization that a big, red, hairy man that likes to kill and skin things for fun had made it a life goal to kill him. That was a dark time. And yet he lays down and a God dream comes forth. The angels ascending and descending right there. Dark times may come, but God's dreams can exist. He, in that moment, had a choice. See, the things of God, when it says the call of God is without repentance, those God dreams, those God whispers, those God callings, they're going to be there. If you're walking with God, then the rod and staff comfort you. If you're running from God, then it haunts you in a weird way. Because you know, when you're out and about and God's using those God things and he's bringing them forth and you're thinking, man, it's amazing how people are drawn to me. Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. A nerd science moment here. When it comes to dreaming, dreaming typically occurs in a cycle that happens very close to being conscious. If you look at the wavelengths and things, because I do. I really don't. I just made that up. But if you look at those things, you'll see that right before the dawn, right before you awake, is usually a time of dreaming. The truth is, without darkness, there can be no dreams sometimes. And the encouragement here to someone is that the sun's about to rise. It's about to rise. Things are about to come around in a way that you haven't even seen it. In Isaiah 43:19, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun it. See it for more than what it looks like on the surface. But see, I have already begun it. Do you not see it? I'm going to make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. The God that I serve is never going to beckon you to walk on the water of a kiddie pool. I mean, he might, but it's improbable in the sense of your neighbor would just think you're weird. God's going to call you to walk on waters in places that will be scary. Here's the litmus test for a God dream, a God whispered vision, a goal that he has put in your heart. Does it scare you? If it does, I guarantee you're on to something. If it doesn't scare you, is it a God dream? Or is it just something that we should have been doing all along? Faith and God dreams speak of things that are not as though they are. To many, that's defining delusion. To the world, that's defining delusion. You're delusional. Your Christianity's cute. Your invisible friend. You've heard it. Those are the things that we walk in. The God that I serve calls it speaking life and have the audacity to live life more abundantly. The places that God took Joseph did not have room for mourning over the loss of his colorful coat. Because see, when he spoke those dreams and bad things went down, he lost that coat. He lost that thing that was his identifier. When my speech is sincere, my actions will begin to mirror the heart that they come from. Faith without works is dead. I am not defined by the things of my past. I serve a God who quickens dead things. Who says that the things that are unseen are eternal. Who loves God dreams? We do. When do we want them? Now. Awesome. But then, the next part with Joseph. He shared his dreams. He put himself out there. Again, I'm not knocking him on delivery or cockiness or what he could have done differently. He spoke them. He ends up down an old well. Being betrayed. What's the purpose of the pit? If the purpose of the dream is to reveal things of God and to reveal his pieces, what is the purpose of the pit? The purpose of the pit is to place a sword in your hand. It's a sword of doubt. Purpose of that pit is to get you to kill the dream. Get you to kill it. That's the sickest part of it. Not to stand aside as the dream dies, but to get you to purposely take part in putting the sword to it. That's how the devil works you. That's what he wants. See, Joseph shared his dreams and he went about his business. And then one day, here he comes, skipping through that field, colorful coat, cockiness and all. And then it says, his brothers saw him coming from afar off. Hey, can you just see him? Roger that, Delta. We have Coat Boy on the horizon. prepare the pit. Now imagine that. I mean, brothers. The truth is, the closest people to you may not understand your God dream. I'm not saying that to cause division. I'm saying for you to understand that here's how it works. In Joseph's case, it was jealousy that threw him down that hole. In your case, when it comes to the people closest to you, they may just be trying to protect your heart. And the people closest to us sometimes protect our heart in this way. They say, you know, that God dream you have, that's out there. And so I'm going to do you a favor. I don't want your heart to get crushed by that God dream not coming true, so I'll crush your heart now. That's kind of how it works. And it's not out of meanness. It's the weirdest form of protection, right? And so you may feel like the people closest to you sometimes have had a part in throwing you down a pit. And then you got a choice. Not everyone's going to know what to do with the things that God plants within you because he planted it within you. He's not going to give them all the pieces. Like we said, when it comes to God's dreams, they're pieces at a time. It's not all the pieces at once, and he's certainly not going to give someone else my pieces. Example of this, Mary going to give birth to the Messiah. And what does it say in Luke 2:19? It says she treasured those things and pondered them in her heart. Mary did not go to the rooftops and like, check this out. Mary. There are times that you're going to need to ponder those things that God says to you, and you're going to need to protect those things that he plants within you, because they're going to give birth. They are going to spring up at some point, but we need to do our part to begin to protect those things, because there is a time and a purpose, and God knows that time. Do those things which protect that dream. In Joshua 1:9, he had said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When those brothers saw him coming from a long way off, the devil was rubbing his hands together. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to the coat, when it comes to some of you that may have things in your past, whether good or bad, that you have anchored to, that you refuse to go past sometimes in God, you need to get to a point when it comes to the coat to say this, devil. In my terminology, it may be something like, devil, I know that the fry basket at Red Robin is bottomless, but this pit is not. When they took that coat from Joseph, do you remember what they did with it? They roughed it up a little, but what'd they do with it? Bloodied it up, didn't they? And we need to have the audacity to say, the devil, the things that once defined me are under the blood. The things that once defined me, whether good or bad, are under the blood. See, I'm a new creation now. Oh, I may be looking up from the bottom of this pit, but oh, there's a freedom. There is a freedom that didn't exist prior to this. The good things, the bad things, get ready. Because being in that pit, that's when God teaches you the lesson. I need to encourage someone today by saying that no matter where you're from, your God dreams are valid. No matter where you've been, your God dreams are valid. Hold tightly to those things. Every pit is not a grave. Every pit is not a grave. If you can see the light, there is hope. If you can't see the light and you can see the stars, then there's still time to dream the God things that he has put in you. It is not a grave. If we have a perspective of being in a pit, we need to turn that to a perspective of promise. Because the promises that God has made, the good God, the God whose plans for you stand, they're not defined by that pit. There are times that grace might provide that pit. What do you mean? When God knows that him and you need some alone time, when God needs to shut out the noise, when God needs to bring you back, you might encounter a pit sometimes. Don't take it for granted. The pit can be a place of protection. You don't know when you're in there, and you hear people say all the time, You know, there was a traffic jam and I was late, and someone always busts in with, you don't know what God was protecting you from. Well, when you were in that pit, you don't know what God was protecting you from. We won't know until we get there. And God shocks us all. The pit is always a place of perfecting. Always. As he whispers to you and as he speaks to you, you need to understand that the promise is still the promise, even if the memory of the promise is blurry. It could be blurry from the years, blurry from your crying, or blurry because you don't even remember your name anymore. If you're in the pit today, remember whose you are. The promise is not dependent on the elevation. If I'm standing above ground or if I'm standing in the pit, the promise is still the same. The truth is that most of us prefer to stay in the middle ground because the other places seem extreme. If we're on the mountaintop, that seems weird. If we're in the pit, no one wants that. We want to be in the middle. Here's the bubble buster for you, though. The highest point on earth is Mount Everest. If you were to achieve climbing Mount Everest, do you know what the truth is? You could only be up there for a few minutes. Number one, because of the conditions, but number two, because there's so many tourists now wanting to get up there, you may get like 7 minutes up there. We tend to romanticize the past by thinking how awesome it was, and I hate to be a bubble buster, but maybe all the mountaintops that we've romanticized weren't as mountaintoppy as we think they were. Maybe in that middle ground, God's been whispering. God's been saying, find that even keel, because that's where I can speak to you, and you can hear me without all the winds blowing, without the boot-sucking mud under you that you're trying to run in. Listen to my voice in those places. See, success scares us sometimes, and it's true. But maturity in Christ says faith is built in pits and on mountaintops at times. We don't get to choose. We just need to grow. The pit is always paired up with providence. See, my God's gone before me. And the thing is that with the devil, like, you throw me in the pit and I'm looking up, here's the crazy part. Like, devil, you done messed up. You done messed up, Aaron. You done messed up in the sense of you threw me in here, but I'm with God. I'm with God. You did the worst thing you could do. You just made like the best teammate ever for this. And the devil's like, oh, great. Like, no, I'm hanging out down here. No. And the devil would try to throw you a ladder. He'd be like, no, I'm hanging out with God. It's my pit time. Maturity in Christ will say that you are never alone. Your circumstance is not your sentence when it comes to the pit. It's a point on a line that was never linear. If it was linear, then I could just walk one foot in front of the other. I would never need a lamp into my feet or a light into my path because I would just be able to walk and know. God provides those things because, see, this line that God has put me on, it was never a linear course. It was this point. And then it's to go this way, and then this way. And those pits may be points on my journey, and I need to be okay with that sometimes. It ain't gonna tickle. I get thrown down a well. It's gonna hurt. I wouldn't want water because I don't like swimming that much, but I wouldn't want rocks because, well, rocks. The point is an intersection on the road to glory. Your pit is not your grave. What appears to be a pit is simply a springboard. And if you are in a pit or if you have experienced a pit time, you're in good company. When it comes to Moses, think of Moses. His leadership was forged in a desert, miles away from his idea of a princely mountaintop that he had experienced. David, his courage was built in a dead run toward a towering giant with an armor bearer. Oh, we know how the story went, but I'm telling you what, run towards someone who's like 14 to 16 feet tall with a slingshot. Just do it. Or don't, because then someone will be like, I got hurt because Bob told me to don't. Paul's testimony was written in prisons, during beatings, through shipwreck and snake bite. John's vision of the things to come, his revelation was written on an exile island. Samson, he could not even see the victory that God brought forth. The greatest victory God ever wrought in his life, he couldn't even see. He may have been the first to go. I don't know how the building collapsed. Peter's ability to become a rock came after testing that revealed his weakness and his fear. Daniel's confirmation, it wasn't like a Siegfried and Roy show. There were no glittery outfits or fiery hoops. It was a dark, nasty place with lions that were there to eat people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were literally the last men standing when that music played. They were literally the last men standing when the huge guards went to throw them in, but there was one that showed up. Whatever journey you're on, however it feels right now, there is one that is with you. There is one that is with you. Do not feel alone. I think of Samson and the very bad day that he had, the one day when he's walking, and you know the story of Samson with the lion. Have you ever stopped to think that the lion wasn't just laying on his back like pet my belly? When the lion incident happened, Samson, like the lion was springing at him. A lion, nerd fact, has a bite like a, I don't know, he bites like 650 pounds per square inch. Samson was strong, right? But that would be tough to pull a lion's mouth apart if it was laying wanting you to rub its belly. This lion was springing at him with its jaws open. At that point, he had a decision to make. So he could have been like, this is a very bad day. And the lion would just be like on his neck. He had a decision. Stop making pits out of bad days. That sounds so mean. I'll smile when I say it. Stop making pits out of bad days. Your pit is not your grave. It's to show that your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You're in good company in the pit, because think of David in Psalm 40 when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined, he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And what did he place in my heart? A new song. I don't think that was, I mean, he's saying a pit. He's saying miry clay. The plan was there long before the pit. The pit that the devil planned for you, simply for David, it served as an amplifier to his praise. Those echoes for the devil to hear. You think I'm going to sit in the bottom of this pit and cry? No. I'm going to praise, because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that the grace of the God I serve never questioned why it should cover me. It was instantaneous. And so why should I question the things of God when he has always been there for me? Because he is able. When your dreams turn into pits, let your questioning turn into singing. When the walls of that prison begin to echo those praises, when that miry clay's on your boots and you look around, and how I said with the testimonies that each one of us has, don't go home and wash those boots. You keep the mud on them. So when the devil whispers to you, I gotcha, you can show him those boots. You can say, you never had me. For the one who pulled me out of the pit, it was part of the plan. His glory, his mercy, and his peace are so real. Closing it up, I'm going to say this, that you are responsible for everything that God entrusts to you. This includes both the dreams as well as the pits. You are responsible for them. Someone's watching. Not to go into some Cliff Note version of Joseph, but I guarantee that the way that he behaved while being mistreated, once his brothers figured out who that handsome Egyptian leader was, that it all came around. How you deal with the pits, others are watching. Don't allow the pits of the past to shape your view of the future. When God puts something good before you, do not go back. No sane person would go back and climb into a dry well. Don't do it with spiritual things. Begin to invest in other people, give it away, and watch it multiply. Call those things that are not as though they are. Get bold with it. Is it an unsaved loved one? See them as being saved. Is it someone who, good Lord, has been addicted for years? Do you think that years limit my God? Someone who is addicted to something that most people don't recover from. Whatever. My God's bigger. My God is bigger. The night's filled with tears. Morning is coming. Morning is coming. So I challenge you in this to have the audacity to be the one who dreams during the day. What do I mean by that? I saw this quote. It said, all men dream, but not equally. The dreamers of the day, they're dangerous men. For they may act on their dreams with open eyes to make them possible. You throw God in that mix. Begin to walk in it. Begin to walk in it. I wanted to pray with someone who flat out, let's throw it down. Your dreams are dead. Your dreams are boxed. Your dreams have been boxed so long you forgot where you put the box. Your dreams are buried in guilt. You think your dreams had an expiration date. You think that you have sabotaged the plan. Maybe some of you feel like the only view of heaven you get is looking up out of a pit. Maybe the pit has become your place of comfort. I want to pray with whoever that is. If people come up, prayer crew, the same thing. For the things that God has in store are so scary good, are so scary great, and He is with you. He is here now. He was there then. He's going before you. He's going before you. When we're talking about those angels, and you think of going before, those obstacles, pushing them out the way. The idea of Him being your rear guard. How confident would you be if you just had someone walking behind you? Got your back. I've got your back. Going before you to say it's playing out exactly as it was planned. Speak life and speak hope. I'm going to pray. And if you're one of those people that wants us to agree in prayer with you. And by agree in prayer, you know what I mean. God didn't give me your pieces. He's been whispering them to you. He's been assembling the kit for years. It's time. It's time. So just bow our heads and pray. And then if you need prayer, come on down. Lord, I thank You that You're the God of inspiration, that You're the God that chooses the underdog, that You are God of incredible things that my mind cannot even conceive. In this place, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would flow into every person. I speak against condemnation. I speak against guilt. And I say that any God dream that has been boxed, Lord, that You would take that out and dust it off. This is Your thing, God. This is Your thing. Give us the boldness, give us the courage, and remind us who we are. In Your name I pray. Amen.
This ends very similar to how it began. Began by me telling you that God did his level best to get my attention the other day. And I ignored it. And I told you how this week has felt. Not this pit of condemnation, but I knew I dropped the ball. If that's you, if the person that God's dealing with, come up, if it's you. I don't want you to go get in a car and be sitting at a family get-together later and be thinking about this very moment and think, I should have. The ripple effect in the spiritual and the steps that we take . The Bible speaks about faith like a grain of a mustard seed, and I think so often we tend to think that God's that big. We're scared to wait in faith. I'll give one more opportunity.
Be my life and breath.
Strength and courage.
wish I could.